Hello, and welcome to Social Media Marketing GPS, a series of American Marketing Association podcasts to help you build a roadmap to social media success. I'm your host, Nancy Piccalo, Director of Online Content for the AMA. Today's podcast is the ninth in a series of podcasts on trends and best practices in social media. Joining me today is our moderator, Toby Bloomberg, author of a new ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, featuring 40 of today's most influential thought leaders in social media. Toby is a recognized speaker on social media and is a frequent presenter at a number of AMA conferences and events. She also serves as moderator of the AMA's Interactive Marketing Online Community. Toby's blog, Diva Marketing, at divamarketingblog.com, is included in the Forbes list of top 20 marketing and social media blogs by women. Her company, co-branded with her blog, Bloomberg Marketing, Diva Marketing, helps the people within organizations join the digital conversation to create corner grocery store relationships without getting blown up. You can also follow her on Twitter at Toby Diva. We're also excited to welcome our special guests for today's podcast, Jeff Livingston and Mark Meyer. Jeff Livingston co-founded Zoetica, a social enterprise that provides superior communication consulting, training, and strategy to help mindful organizations affect social change. He has worked as a public relations strategist in the Washington, D.C. region for more than 16 years. Dubbed a local blogging guru by the Washington Post, Jeff's award-winning book on new media, Now Is Gone, was released in 2007. The book has been cited by the Wall Street Journal as a valuable resource for social media. He continues to blog about nonprofit use of social media for Mashable and on environmental issues for Live Earth. He sold the social media boutique Livingston Communications to CRT Tanaka in April of 2009. Some of his professional experiences include United Way of America, Save Darfur, the Goodwill of Greater Washington, Environmental Defense Fund, Live Earth, Child Fund International, the Campus Kitchens Project, the Philanthropy 2.0 Project, Network Solutions, Sully Erna, and many others. Also today, with us today on our podcast is Mark Meyer. He's a digital and social media lead at Digital Response Marketing Group, a social media and search agency. Before that, Mark had been consulting for Naples, Florida-based direct response marketing company, Emerson Direct, for almost 7 years. At various times, he had served as their director of internet marketing and their director of social media. In both roles, Mark was also able to leverage his experience in marketing, sales, and technology to a degree in which companies actually did not glaze over and just nod their heads when he suggested a new approach to creating digital content, a different social media strategy, or a simple SEO tactic. For the past 6 years, Mark has been seeking to raise the art and science of digital marketing to a new level, where every company and organization becomes adept at understanding what it takes to be successful at attracting eyeballs through simple SEO practices, driving traffic, and uncovering new prospects through SMO lead generation, or creating conversations from social media best practices, and ultimately understanding online behaviors and cultures through the usage of social media marketing, and community. Toby, welcome to the program, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, Nancy, it's been a pleasure and a pure delight in doing this podcast series with AMA. And I'd like to add my welcome, Mark and Jeff. Thanks for being here this morning.
Hey, Toby. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Thanks for having us, Toby.
And we're all coming from the eastern zone, except for Nancy, who's in central. So we're in Atlanta, Chicago, Washington, and Florida. Love how that happens. As social media is growing more complex, we're realizing that the impact includes not only how customers relate to the people behind the brands, but how our employees work with each other in their relationship to the enterprise and their relationship to the brand. In Chapter 2, The New Enterprise Direction, I asked Mark and Jeff this question. SM, social media, goes beyond just a marketing strategy. SM changes the way business is conducted. What does that mean to you? And that's what we'll discuss in this podcast. But in keeping with our short format, we'll try to hold our conversation not to 140 characters, but to about 14 minutes, give or take one or two. We're beginning each show by reading a few of the tweets from the chapter, and then we will take a deeper dive into the subject. So I'll kick it off with the intro. And then, Mark, since your tweets came first, would you pick it up?
Certainly.
And then, Jeff?
Sure.
Great. All right, here we go. When you're finished changing, you're finished. B. Franklin. It would be foolish not to acknowledge that big gorilla in the room. What is the risk in participating in open conversations? Risk will be different for each organization. You must define the type and amount of risk, but with risk, there can be great benefit. The larger issue is not negative comments, but SM influences how business is, should be, will be conducted. This must be management's focus. The answers to questions that you did not ask your customers impact all aspects of an organization, from PR, customer service, sales, and more. Savvy marketers understand that SM changes external and internal communication flow, processes, and responses to customers' concerns. Begin a social media strategy by creating a global corporate direction. Take into consideration long-term impact of biz and staff. Mark?
The tools need to track back to the precise problems within the organization. You just can't have tools. And I always like to start with the why, or more specifically, what are the company's goals? And even then, more on a finite level, each department doesn't require the same tool either. Top-down is important, but I also like to see bottom-up and possibly meet in the middle. First and foremost, though, employees must see value. A few takeaways here. The problem will define the tool, and at the beginning and end of the day, it's all about the interaction. Jeff?
I was thinking that the inherent risk for an organization is the exposure of its basic, I guess, disconnect with its own stakeholders and its customer base. So a lot of organizations operate from a tower and, assume what their market wants. And I think when they have a bad experience online, it's because they're not really in touch with what their customers want or what their donors or volunteers are really looking to do to change the world. And so I think that really the greatest way to begin is to start with listening tools and participating in that sense to mitigate that risk. And then the second risk I envision is not being able to manage the very delicate art of infusing personality without necessarily creating runaway personal brands that can hold an organization hostage.
Great. I really have enjoyed starting our conversations off with people reading their tweets. It brings a voice and an extra dimension to social media and reminds us that social media is not just all about the text, but it's about audio as well as video. So let's dive into this conversation. People are beginning to understand that social media is not only a tweet or a status update, but it impacts the entire organization. And just before this recording, Mark and I were chatting, and he said that we just can't dip our toe into the water anymore. There has to be more strategy pre-social media launch. So with that, let me ask this question to you. That means that social media can be a change agent. Where do you see the most significant impact occurring in the enterprise?
I'll jump in real quick. The impact on the customer side, and I was telling somebody this yesterday, was that in the sense that our expectations as a customer are starting to rise, and the enterprise needs to understand that, and they almost have to align themselves with customer expectations. So organizationally, I see it affecting two areas real quickly, HR and customer service. But the impact will be on how hard it is to adapt and then how hard it is to adopt. Jeff?
I think Mark pretty much nailed it on the head with that. I think some of the challenge, too, is really learning how to empower other people. And that's the very, very difficult part in understanding that stakeholders really, really want to have a role in the larger development of an organization, particularly the people that care the most, that are most vociferous. But I think that presents intense management challenges because what's commonly known as crowdsourcing, whatever you want to call it, as much as we talk about and we fear from an enterprise level, this crazy, unruly crowd out there, as much as the Crown loves freedom, it requires a ton of structure and a lot of management. I think Cisco realized that when they crowdsourced iPrize. So anyway, don't want to get too far. We only have a few minutes, but I do think that's an incredible challenge in most organizations. When they finally make that decision, hey, I'm going to do this, they don't realize actually how much work it'll take.
That's really an interesting concept, Jeff, because when you think of crowdsourcing, you think of opening it up to many people to join in and give you ideas, and it seems like such a simple complex, but it's not. Will you talk a little bit more about that structure? We have time for that. It's a great concept.
Yeah, no, it's interesting, and it's a lot of what I'm working on right now is how to build processes for effective crowdsourcing. Because, 90% of what the crowd produces is often not useful to an organization. There are people that will constantly break the rules, whatever the rules might be, and sometimes those rules should be broken, and you have to have a vetting process to determine what's right and what's wrong. If you're crowdsourcing innovation and it's a contest, we've seen numerous people break rules. I think the Pepsi Refresh contest is a great example of that. Everybody kind of rags on Pepsi. It's an easy, big target. But those folks have had so many different issues that they've had to face, from gaming the system to having so many entries in a minute, how do they discern which ones to choose, things like that. So, crowdsourcing takes an incredible amount of structure and work. And frankly, you have to have somebody that's present for those that are participating in your crowdsourcing effort, a community manager, if you would. If you're asking the crowd to do things for you, you have to be available to the crowd. And they have lots of questions and need a lot of, frankly, some hand-holding.
I think that's an important concept to keep in mind. If you're crowdsourcing, you have to be available to the crowd. Let's go in a slightly different direction and take off our social media blinders for a minute. We've all taken a sip or two of this Kool-Aid. What are the risks, if anything, for enterprises that are new to social media, and also the risks that might come with those companies that have stepped in and begin to dabble, but all of a sudden realize that they have to go deeper? What should we plan for? What should we be aware of?
I think that this is ironic because I told this group again yesterday that we should be aware that that Facebook and Twitter aren't necessarily the answers. I think that's the blinders on. That's the social media blinders on and thinking that that's the end all be all. And the risks are in I think understanding that there's more out there. There's a risk in that we all have this newfound ability to communicate, and it's coupled with an expectation and a responsibility. And I don't think that from a risk standpoint we all understand what the impact is with what we say, and sometimes we don't understand what the expectations are, and we don't understand the expectations of responsibility. And, maybe a lot of that is in context, but I just think that people pigeonhole social into either tools or into, these silos of Facebook and social and Twitter, and it's so much more than that. And that starts with education, but then it also starts with the ramifications of our actions, so to speak, and understanding that it's a two-way street. I'm dancing around a lot of high-level topics here, but it really takes a deeper understanding than what I think a lot of people don't get yet.
Mm-hmm. I would add that I think one of the big dangers when people start playing with this is putting it into a little sandbox and experimenting with it. In that sense,
yep.
I just think that, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Mark, to do so is just, that's usually a fear-based approach, let me see how this works, let me figure out what to do, and that makes sense, but if you think about stakeholders and the way they view social media. Even 20% of people in their 70s are using Facebook now, or Twitter, or other social tools. Like, I don't know, Yelp is a good example of one that people use, and there are a whole bunch of other ones too. I'm sorry, the one that's slipping my mind because they had a weird announcement last night about their dating service. So, I mean, basically, there any kind of your anything that touches your life, there's some sort of a social tool for it. 40% of people above the age of 50 are using it. I think it's actually more like 46%. These people don't go home and say, I think I'm going to spend 4 hours on social media tonight. They don't. I mean, they watch TV, they read magazines, they listen to the radio on their commute home, they turn on their computer, and maybe some of the stuff allows them to comment or engage in a two-way conversation. But they don't consciously look at it in the sense that, boy, I'm going to use my favorite charity's social network today. They just don't. And why would you not integrate these tools into your larger communications program and have them work seamlessly together? I mean, this is really a feedback channel, a dialogue channel, an engagement channel, and it should work with your other tools as well. And in that sense, I think that social media belongs as part of a larger organizational mission, and it should definitely be held accountable to larger measurable objectives too.
I always say give social media the respect that Rodney Dangerfield has always asked for in order to make it a credible part of the marketing mix. Mark, you had something else to say?
Yeah, you know, I've been thinking about this a lot lately, but I really want to, and I know we're in the bubble, you know, we're the old guard, and I want to get past, you know, the topics of social media, you know, I'm trying to think of the best way to say this, but, you know, there's still so much work that needs to be done, and I just want us to get past, you know, the light and fluffy stuff, because we touched on it early on in this conversation is that, back to the toe in the water, but, you know, from an enterprise standpoint, there's, and Jeff touched on it as well, I mean, there just needs to be a lot of, you know, a lot of understanding, a lot of work, you know, about how you integrate this into the enterprise. And I just want us to get past some of the fluffy stuff.
Yeah, if I could play off that, I mean, one of the great examples, I'm working on a new book, and one of the case studies is going to be Dell, and not for the Dell that everybody knows, which is Dell Hell and how they turned around their reputation, but right now there are 15,000 Dell employees using social media as part of their workflow process.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That is incredible. They've trained these 15,000 people in the last 50 days. And yep. They're basically implementing this across the entire enterprise as a way to better communications throughout departments, intra-departments, customer service, external marketing, the whole nine yards. They're just making transparency more accessible. I mean, they're not going to give away their business secrets, obviously, but they're just using this to facilitate better, faster product. And to me, that's where we want
to
be,
right.
Like the Holy Grail.
And the other part about, I can hardly wait to read your new book, which is called what, Jeff?
It's going to be called Welcome to the Fifth Estate.
Excellent. One of the things that I think we're going to learn from your Dell lesson is that this didn't happen overnight. It was a long process from day one to where they came now. And it's great that they're able to share our learnings with us. And so social media really does impact what we're calling the big three, people, process, and those resources. And with that, I have a funny feeling that our resource of time is about running up. So before we toss it back to Nancy, Mark and Jeff, would you please tell people where they can find you on the social web?
Jeff, you go first this time. I'll follow you.
Okay, cool. I'm Jeff Livingston. It's spelled the funny way, G-E-O-F-F, Livingston, all one word, .com.
And when is your book coming out?
It should be end of March. Perhaps we'll release it around South by Southwest.
Excellent. And Mark?
You can find me two places. One is at my blog, which is directmarketingobservations.com. And I'm going to go ahead and throw out #socialmedia.com because it's a pretty cool place to have structured conversations on the business of social media.
Oh, and would you take 30 seconds and tell us what that is about, because it's an amazing chat. And when can people join in?
Absolutely. We're in our 80th week, and I'm proud to say that both Jeff and Toby have participated as moderated hosts. And what we do is we spend a half hour every Tuesday at 12 Eastern, and we talk about the business of social media with some of the preeminent thought leaders in and around the PR, marketing, and social media industry.
And it's one of the smartest chats. It's a great chat.
Yeah,
and,
it's awesome.
It's very good. So catch that Tuesdays at noon, and look for Jeff's book coming out next year, and you can find me at Toby Diva. Let's find the American Marketing Association. Nancy, where can we find AMA online?
You can find us on Twitter at @marketing_power or at our website at www.marketingpower.com. Well, thank you all for your wonderful insights today. We've been talking to Toby Bloomberg, Jeff Livingston, and Mark Meyer. Thank you all for joining us, and thank you for listening to this edition of our AMA Social Media Marketing GPS podcast series. I hope it's been a good learning and listening experience for you. You can look for information on other upcoming podcasts in the social media series by visiting marketingpower.com/podcast. And make sure you sign up for our RSS feed on Marketing Power so you're aware of all the podcast series available to you. And you can download Toby Bloomberg's ebook, Social Media Marketing GPS, A Guide to Social Media One Tweet at a Time, by visiting divamarketingblog.com or the Social Media Podcast Series page on our site at marketingpower.com. And until next time, I've been your host, Nancy Piccala. Thanks so much for joining us.
Stand by.